We're on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and if you count up from the bottom, you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. And Tanya Kavase de Reish Lakish. We had Reish Lakish's Shita back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and he gave a different explanation than that of Rabbi Yochanan for our Mishnah. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Masechta Yoma that 7 days before Yom Kippur, we separate the Kohen Gadol from his house. That's called Prisha. And he has 7 days to prepare for his Avoda on Yom HaKippurim. And whereas Rabbi Yochanan derives that halacha Prisha Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur from the Parsha Yemei HaMiluim, Reish Lakish, on the other hand, back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, derives it from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, before he enters into what's called the Machne Shechina, which we'll see is going to be the mountain of Har Sinai that was covered by an Anan, so he had to prepare himself beforehand with a Prisha. He was separated from his family, and that's Reish Lakish. So again, just to summarize, whereas Rabbi Yochanan derives the Chiv Prisha of a Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur from Yemei HaMiluim, in which Aaron was preparing for the work that he would begin at the time of that Komas HaMishkan, Reish Lakish derives the Chiv Prisha of the Kohen Gadol from Moshe Rabbeinu before Har Sinai, and the mountain itself was covered by an anan, by a cloud. Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, enters into that cloud, and he prepares for receiving the Torah. And now, here on the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara wants to quote a brisa that would support Reish Lakish. And we're going to hone in on one particular shita in the brisa, and that's going to be the shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, then. So without further ado, Tanya Kavase de Reish Lakish, we have a brisa to support Reish Lakish, who says that the Prisha of the Kohen Gadol is derived from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu was Poresh, he separated from his family before Har Sinai. And here's what the Braisa records. Moshe Rabbeinu, Ola Be'anan, he climbs up to Har Sinai Be'anan. Be'anan means he is covered by the cloud. Viniskase ba'anan, and for a period of time, almost a full week, he was separated from his family, and he was surrounded by the anan. Viniskadish ba'anan, and by separating, he was sanctified. Kidei lekabel Torah LeYisrael b'kedusha, so that he would be able to receive the Torah in a state of kedusha. So we have here the following equation: Prisha is going to set up kedusha, and that is a necessary preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. So we have Prisha, and that's what the Anan is all about. Then we have kedusha. And now, we are ready for Kabbalah HaTorah. Now, what's the source in the Torah for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he received the Torah, he was separated, and he was surrounded by the Anan? Shenemar, and the Braisa quotes a pasuk at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem Al Har Sinai. So we know that the glory of God resided, if you will, on Har Sinai. And the next part of the pasuk, which is not quoted in the Gemara, says Vayichaseu Ha'anan. Now, the word Vayichaseu has a pronoun. Pronouns are always very tricky. But we're going to assume now that word Vayichaseu means and he was covered, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu was covered by the Anan, Sheshes Yomim, for 6 days. So we have to assume that on the seventh day, after he was covered and surrounded by the Anan Moshe for 6 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was now ready to climb the mountain and receive the Torah, as we said before, B'Kedusha. And the next part of this pasuk, again, it's not in your text, says, Vayikra el Moshe b'yom ha'shvi mitoch ha'anan. And Moshe hears the calling of Hashem on the seventh day from within the Anan. So he was surrounded by Anan, and inside this, you know, capsule, if you want to call it, of the Anan, Moshe Rabbeinu hears the calling of Hashem, and that takes place on the seventh day. And the Brisa says that Zehaya Maisa Achar Aseres Adivros, that first there was what we call Kabbalah Satorah of Aseres Adivros, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is going to climb the mountain to receive the balance of the Torah, plus the Shtei Luchos HaBris. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go up to the mountain for a period of 40 days. Now, there's going to be a bridge between Aseres HaDibros and Moshe Rabbeinu going up to the mountain to receive the balance of the Torah. And during that period of time, Moshe Rabbeinu, for 6 days, in preparation for going up to Har Sinai, is separated from his family, surrounded by the Anan, gets the clarion call on the seventh day from Hashem, Mitoch Anan, that now is time for him to receive the Torah. So let's just go over it. There's in sequence A, B, and C. A is Aseres HaDibros. We have to figure out exactly what calendar date that took place on. B, Moshe Rabbeinu is Poresh, and that for sure goes on for 6 days. And C, now that Moshe Rabbeinu has prepared himself and sanctified himself for a period of 6 days, then on day number 7, the voice of God calls out to him, Mitoch Anan, to tell him that now it's time for him to go all the way up to Mount Sinai and there receive the balance of the Torah and, of course, the Shtei Luchos HaBris. Because, again, the Torah was given at stage number 1, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, etc., all the Aseres HaDibros, but they weren't written down, they weren't inscribed on the tablets. And after Moshe Rabbeinu's Prisha, through which, as we said, he sanctified himself, now he's ready to go up to the mountain, where he'll spend 40 days receiving the Torah and receiving the Luchos. So this Pasuk, according to what we would call the Tanakhama, because soon we're going to see a second opinion, a dissenting view, but according to this Tana, that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Moshe Rabbeinu is going into the Anan, or shall we say, experiencing the Prisha after Matan Torah. And this is all part of his experience of climbing up the mountain to be there for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the Torah and bring down the Luchos. Now, from the fact that, according to this Tana, the Tanakhama, which is Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili, there is a requirement of Moshe to be Poresh for the 6 days, so that he'll be ready for the seventh day. This is going to be a support text, this Brisa of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, for the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. And let's explain how we make this jump between Rabbi Yossi Aglili here in this Brisa and Rabbi Yochanan? I meant to say Reish Lakish. Now, What Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is saying is that when the pasuk says, again, let's go back to the pasuk one more time, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, and this means that after Matan Torah, the Kvod Hashem, the glory of God, resides or rests upon Har Sinai, and then Vayichaseu Hanan. Vayichaseu is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, and I emphasize that over and over again because we're going to soon see Rabbi Akiva has a dissenting view, but now we're saying Vayichaseu is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is the Prisha phenomenon, that Moshe Rabbeinu is encircled by the Anan for a period of 6 days, and that is his Prisha before he goes up to Hashem. And then on the seventh day, Vayikra El Moshe, Hashem's voice calls out to Moshe, V'yom HaShvi, Mitoch Anan, and that is the Anan where Moshe Rabbeinu was. So from that Anan, the voice of Hashem cries out to Hashem, to Moshe Rabbeinu, as a clarion call for Moshe Rabbeinu to climb up to Hashem. And now he's going to be on the mountain, and that's going to be a balance of the 40 days that he has to be on the mountain. And later on, we're not up to this yet, but the Gemara on Omid Beis is going to explain that the first period of 6 days, when Moshe Rabbeinu is covered by the Anan, that's calculated in the 40 days. So that Lomaisa, he was only up on the mountain for 34 days, according to this opinion. But again, I'm jumping the gun a little bit. Just keep in mind the mathematics of 34 plus 6. So the 6 days in which Moshe Rabbeinu is in the Anan, on the seventh day he gets the clarion call to climb up to the mountain. And he climbs up to the mountain on day 7, following the 6 days of Prisha in the Anan. And on day 7, that's the first day of the balance of 40 days, which means of the 34 days that he's missing. And all this is Divrei Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva now has a different agenda, if you will. He wants to assume that this entire period of Vayishkan that we're talking about is a description of what went on before Matan Torah. Not like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, who says the Torah was already given, they received Aseres HaDibros, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is preparing to go up to the mountain. No, 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 says Rabbi Akiva. Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, that very same verse which Rabbi Yossi HaGlili interprets as referring to post Kabbalah Sator, meaning post Aseres HaDibros, actually refers to Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is a full 6 days, if you will, before they receive the Aseres HaDibros. So that now, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Vayishkon Hashem al Har Sinai, Vayichaseu Ba'anan, takes on a whole different perspective. It's no longer Moshe Rabbeinu preparing through the Anan for Kedusha to receive the rest of the Torah, but rather it's Klal Yisrael that are preparing for Kabbalah Satorah. So what day on the calendar are we up to? We're up to Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Now let's turn to the Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Says Rabbi Akiva, Vayichaseihu Hanan Sheishes Yomim. That doesn't mean, as Rabbi Yossi would have it, that Moshe Rabbeinu was covered by the Anan. Because if we're on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up and down. You know, first he goes up to try to get Slicha Mechila, and then he goes down again to tell the people, asking them if they want to be Mekabel the Torah. Then he goes back up again, and he gets the mitzvah of Prisha, of Hagbalah, and he goes down again. So anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu is going up and down for all these days. So there's no way, says Rabbi Akiva, that you can interpret Vayichaseu Anan as referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore he says Vayichaseu Hanan Lahar. It means the mountain of Sinai was now surrounded by a cloud. And then when it says Vayikra el Moshe, that now it's time to receive the Torah, because again, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're talking pre-Kabbalah Sator, not post-Kabbalah Sator. And when I say Kabbalah Sator, again, keep in mind, I mean the Aseres HaDibros. Now the clarion call comes out to call Yisrael, not to Moshe Rabbeinu, the way Rabbi Yossi Aglili had it, telling the people of Israel, Omdim, that it's time for them to stand and be ready, and the Kriya comes to the people of Israel. Moshe, again, is included in the people of Israel, because he also has to receive the Torah, but the Torah is not being given exclusively to Moshe, it's being given to all of Klal Yisrael. In fact, the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, our forefathers heard directly b'pi Agvura, and maybe we were there too. Even though the Pasuk says, Vayikra el Moshe, which means that the voice cried out to Moshe, Elolachlo kavod l'Moshe. The Pasuk is only giving kavod to Moshe. It would not be a dignified way of calling out to Klal Yisrael if Moshe Rabbeinu is included in Klal Yisrael, because he also has to be there for Kabbalah Satorah, no less than the rest of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, instead of the Torah formulating it that the voice came out to speak to Klal Yisrael, including Moshe, the Pasuk specifies Moshe Rabbeinu. But in truth, the voice came out as a clarion call to all of Klal Yisrael to come out now and receive the Aseres HaDibros. Now, in the light of Rabbi Akiva's interpretation of this verse, there's no proof whatsoever, no support for Reish Lakish, because Moshe Rabbeinu is not experiencing any unique kind of apresha in the Anan. In fact, the Anan is not surrounding Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it's surrounding the Har. And in terms of Kabbalah Satorah, we are now before Kabbalah Satorah, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu is getting the clarion call together with Klal Yisrael to receive the Torah. There's no indication whatsoever that Moshe Rabbeinu is undergoing a Prisha period in order to enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies, which is Har Sinai. But if we turn the clock back to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's already a different story. Rabbi Yossi Aglili understands that there already was Kabbalah Satorah, and that the mountain, and excuse me, that the Anan is now surrounding Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is surrounded for 6 days by the Anan, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili has the voice of Hashem coming out on the seventh day. What was Moshe busy doing for the first 6 days when he was surrounded and encompassed by the Anan? He was being Makayim, the mitzvah Prisha. All this was to sanctify him, B'Kedusha, so that now he could receive the Torah. Again, he received the Aseres HaDibros together with all of Klal Yisrael. That was before the 6 days of Prisha. But following the 6 days of Prisha, when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be commanded to go up to the mountain, and that's the mountain where it's Vayishkan, where the Shekhinah rests on that mountain, that's already a status of a Kodesh Kadoshim. Moshe Rabbeinu has to prepare himself through Prisha in a Hiskadshus to sanctify himself to go up to the mountain, which is, as I said before, like the Kodesh Kadoshim, to receive the balance of the Torah. And in that sense, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is a clear-cut precedent for Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish could in effect stand on the shoulders of Rabbi Yossi Aglil. Now the Braisa records another two opinions, both of which agree fundamentally with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that when the Torah says Vayichaseu Hanan Sheshes Yomim, the Torah is referring to the 6 days after Matan Torah, meaning after Aseres HaDibros. However, these two Tanoim that are going to appear now at the end of this Braisa have a totally different twist, a whole different understanding of what the purpose of these 6 days when Moshe Rabbeinu was surrounded by the Anan. We'll start with Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson Omer, what were these 6 days all about? It's already after Aseres HaDibros, and Moshe Rabbeinu is now surrounded by the Anan for 6 days. And the purpose of that is lo ba hakasuv. You know, the purpose or the agenda, the goal of this prisha for 6 days is none other than elo lemarek achila ushesia shebimeyav lasumu kemaloche ashores. Moshe Rabbeinu has to climb the mountain. And imagine he's going to be on the mountain now for a very long period of time. And he's not going to be eating or drinking. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to now reach the level of the Malachi Ashores who don't eat and don't drink. They have no food or beverages in their intestines. And Moshe Rabbeinu now has to climb to the level of the Malachi Ashores. So for 6 days, he is somehow miraculously purged, if you will, I don't know what word to use, purified of all his achila and shesia. And we're going to see later on that according to one opinion, that which he ate and that which he drank was nivla be'evarav, whatever that means. It's like man in a sense that it becomes angel food, it becomes more spiritual, less material, less physical, and it penetrates into the very Evarim. And that's going to give Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, the energy and project him for the next 40 days to be able to live like the level of the angels without eating and sleeping, eating and drinking. But in any event, according to Rabbi Nosson, it's clear that we cannot derive any halachic conclusions for all generations, namely that, as Reish Lakish wanted to draw the conclusion, that anybody who goes into the Machne Shechina, like the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur, who enters into the Kodesh Kadoshim, requires Prisha of 6 days, because the Prisha of six days of Moshe Rabbeinu was a very unique kind of a Prisha, the purpose of which was Lemarek Achila Ushsiyah Shebimeyav. I mean, that's not something that we could talk about with regard to the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't need a period of time to purge him, so to speak, some sort of cathartic experience of getting, separating himself from Achila and Shesia. I mean, of course, the Kohen Gadol fast on Yom Kippur like any of us. And now we have a fourth Shita, Rabbi Masya ben Cheresh, or ben Charosh, I should read it, Omer. So again, he also agrees to Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Nosson, who came before him, that the Prisha of 6 days took place after Matan Torah. But for Lobah Kosev Eliayim Olav, the purpose of these 6 days of Prisha was La'ayim Olav. Now, I don't have an English translation. I can tell you that I would translate La'ayim Olav, if I were to ask for a literal translation, it means to threaten him. But that's not what the word La'ayim means in this context. In modern Hebrew, when you want to threaten someone and scare them, you use the word La'ayim. It's a derivative, and it's very similar to its original meaning. But the original noun, which is now being conjugated as a verb, La'ayim, is actually Ema, Aleph Yud Mem He, which means awe or fear. And the halacha is that when you receive the Torah, you have to receive the Torah with Yira, with a state of fear, trembling, of awe. And Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to separate himself for 6 days, because he was going on the seventh day to climb the mountain and receive the Torah. And now Moshe Rabbeinu for these 6 days has to be we have to penetrate or inculcate into Moshe Rabbeinu's psyche a state of Ema, that's called La'ayim Olav, so that now that he's going up to the Machne Shechina, he's got to enter B'Ema to receive the Torah. Kidesha Tehei Torah Nitenes B'Ema B'Reses U'B'Zeah. So the Torah be received. Now there are three different words here describing that state of awe that is appropriate for receiving the Torah. And again, if I had to translate these three words loosely, I would say ema is fear or awe, reses is trembling, and zea is also a kind of trembling. Maybe it means shuddering. And this is derived from a pasuk in Tehillim of all places. David HaMelech says, Ivdu es Hashem b'yira. And the greatest avodas Hashem that man is capable of is receiving the Torah. And man has to prepare himself for receiving the Torah by achieving the state of yira, which is called ema reses ubezea. But then it's interesting, the end of the pasuk says, Vigilu bira ada. And the pasuk sounds like a person who serves Hashem and he's committed to God's Torah has to have not only a state of fear and trembling, but at the same time, he has to have gila or simcha. So it's really a very dialectical paradox here that simultaneously, man receiving the Torah is supposed to experience A, ra'ada, and B, simcha, or as the pasuk calls it, gila. Imagine, these sound like two mutually exclusive kind of emotional states, to be in a state of trembling and awe, and at the same time to be in a state of gila and simcha. But that's what the pasuk says, Ivdu es Hashem b'yira v'gilu b'rada. And simultaneously, to be in a state of both ra'ada and gila, that's a very profound statement. Now, if you were to ask me what would be Rabbi Masya's take on Reish Lakish, it's getting very close to Reish Lakish, because again, Reish Lakish's point is that Moshe Rabbeinu was Poresh for these 6 days, so that on the seventh day he could enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim of the, you know, of Matan Torah, of Har Sinai. And that's very similar to, as Reish Lakish points out, to preparation of the Kohen Gadol to enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim at the end of his week of Prisha on Yom Kippur. In Rabbi Masya's frame of reference, perhaps we could maybe push it a little, but maybe we would be able to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing to reach a state of Ema V'yira. And again, that's because he's entering into the Machne Shechina to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. And the Kohen Gadol likewise should, before he goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim, spend a period of time, a week's time, in preparation for Ema, Reses, and Zea before he enters into the Machne Shechina. I'm a little bit hesitant to identify Rabbi Masya and his approach to the Prisha of Moshe Rabbeinu with the understanding of Reish Lakish, because Rabbi Masya is talking about preparing for Kabbalas HaTorah per se. And it's not a matter of his kadshus. You see, if we go with Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and that was the Tanakhama, this Braisa, that there's an element of Kedusha here, because he's coming to the Machne Shechina. So you could say that the Kohen Gadol likewise has to be Makadish himself, or you'd say he has to be Miskadesh to sanctify himself and uplift himself before he enters into the Machne Shechina, the Kodesh Kadoshim. I mean, that much of a comparison analysis, of an analogy, I can understand. In the framework of Rabbi Masya, it seems like it's more a matter of preparation for a certain attitude, for an intellectual / emotional state of being, which is appropriate for what? For receiving the Torah. Now, it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu has to enter into the Machne Shechina in order to receive the Torah, but it's not clear to me that Rabbi Masya has Moshe Rabbeinu being Poresh for the sake of the Machne Shechina, of entering into the Machne Shechina. I mean, the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is not meant to receive the Torah. He's meant to enter into the Machne Shechina, the Kodesh Kodashim. And therefore, I would submit to you that I think if this Braisa is being quoted as a Tana de Messiah to support Reish Lakish, Tanya Kavosi de Reish Lakish, it means Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the first of the four opinions, because again, the purpose of Prisha in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu was, as we said at the outset, to be miskadesh, to be sanctified, so that he could enter into the Machne Shechina, which is Har Sinai, where the Kvod Hashem is residing right now. Whereas Rabbi Masya, I think, is talking about getting the purpose of the priest is getting Moshe Rabbeinu into a certain state of mind, a certain attitudinal, experiential state of mind that's appropriate for receiving the Torah. So that if you were writing Hilchas Talmud Torah and codifying the laws of Torah, and you were addressing the question of how to prepare for receiving the Torah and studying the Torah, and you would want to derive from Moshe Rabbeinu that you need Ema Reses V'Ubazea, then I understand according to Rabbi Masya. But to derive from here that the Kohen Gadol, before he goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he has to be Poresh for that period of time, I'm not sure if I can base myself on Rabbi Masya insofar as the Kohen Gadol is not preparing himself for Kabbalah Satorah. And the Gemara actually explains the raya from the Pasuk in Tillim, which is invoked here by Rabbi Masya. The Gemara says, "My Vegilu Berada, what does this very anomalous Pasuk mean? Vegilu Berada, you know, you should be dancing out of a state of ecstasy and joy, Berada, but in a state of fear and trembling. Omrav Ada Bar Masna Marav Bimokom Gila Sham Tehera Ada. That at the time of Matan Torah, and Matan Torah is the greatest, joyous, most joyous, and it's the greatest celebration you could imagine. That's Mesameach Halev Shom Tehera Ada. And perhaps, you know, this might be, if I can go a little bit beyond the Gemara, might be a kind of a comment on those Jews, and I can think of quite a number of groups that fit into this profile, who are always in a state of joy and ecstasy and always dancing and singing, Hasidim for one, and that's a great thing, but the comment here that I would add is it's got to be Bira Ada. You've got to you have to sort of mitigate or integrate an element of Ra'ada together with that Gila. And I'm not sure exactly which comes first. I mean, in the Pasuk it says V'gilu Berada, as if to say the Gila comes first, but I would interpret it differently. I would say V'gilu Berada means when you achieve Ra'ada, you have to make sure that inherent in the Ra'ada is a state of Gila. And in my mind, one of the most paradigmic examples of this is shofar. Because when we hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we quote the Pasuk of Amlo Yechradu. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Kol Bayolam Ovrim Lefanav Kivnei Marom. That's certainly, and that's what Unasada Tokov is all about the Ra'ada. But at the same time, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah tells us that God is aware of us, He's cognizant, He's actually judging us out of His sense of concern and providence and love. And the shofar also, according to Rav Sadia Gaon, is blown on Rosh Hashanah as a symbolic anticipation of the shofar shel Mashiach, so that there are elements of redemption that are inherent and alluded to in the Kol Shofar. So we have again a Gilu B'Ra'ada situation, where on the one hand, shofar is the greatest experience in the whole year of Ra'ada, and at the same time, it's a tremendous Gila. And when we recite the Musaf service of Rosh Hashanah with Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros, you know, we're talking about the greatest element of Simcha, especially when you get to Shofros at the end. But leaving out Shofar for a minute, just let's get back to Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah at Har Sinai. The requirement and the mandate is Be'ema Bereses Ubezeah, and for that he needs a period of 6 days to prepare for going up to the mountain and receiving the Torah. Again, all this is according to one approach of two approaches that are codified in this Braisa. The other approach is that of Rabbi Akiva. And we're not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not the persona. He's not the center stage here in this whole parasha. It's Klal Yisrael. They have to prepare, and Moshe with them, for the Aseres HaDibros. And the Anan is not even covering Moshe Rabbeinu. It's covering the Har. And the voice is not calling out to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's calling out to all the people. So this is not a preparation for going into the Machne Shechina. This is a preparation for the Aseres HaDibros. And the mountain is being covered, and it's the glory of Hashem is residing on the mountain. And now Klal Yisrael have to prepare themselves for receiving the Aseres HaDibros. So again, just to summarize, the Gemara is quoting this Braisa, but specifically honing in on Rabbi Yossi Aglili the first time in this Braisa, as a support text for a Shlokish that we're going to derive from this very Pasuk, that anyone who enters into the Machne Shechina needs Prisha, and that is a reference, an allusion to the Kohen Gadol who serves on Yom HaKippur. The Tosis HaRosh says that even Rabbi Yossi Aglili is not a clear-cut proof for a Shlokish, because the Gemara that we learned last week brings a clear-cut, explicit source in a Braisa to support Rabbi Yochanan. In the case of a Shlokish, this Braisa still has what I'd call, that's my terminology, a leap of faith here, if you want to jump over to a Shlokish, because the Chovas Prisha here in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is not exactly a valid source from which we could derive for all generations that the Kohen Gadol has to experience and implement Prisha before he goes into Kodesh Kadoshim. Because it's very possible that this parsha was addressing Moshe Rabbeinu, and specifically Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to speak to God panim el panim. On that level, when you have a dialogue between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like two men who are talking to each other, and that's the situation of Moshe Rabbeinu, for sure you need a Prisha for that. But to say that therefore, ipso facto, I derive the conclusion that the Kohen Gadol has to be Parish before he enters into the Kodesh Kadoshim, there's no clear-cut derivation or proof from Moshe Rabbeinu and his Prisha. He was part of Melponim. That's the point of the Tosa Rosh. So this Tanya Kavase, the Reish Lakish, is a bit of a leap. It's a bit of a loose wire, if you will. It's not what you call an absolute proof or tightly tied proof. But now, Tosis asks another kasha. He says, I don't see how Rabbi Yossi Aglili is a support for a Shlokish, as if to say against Rabbi Yochanan. Even Rabbi Yochanan could darshan the pasuk exactly and interpret exactly the way Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that from Sinai we could derive the conclusion that anyone, in this case Kohen Gadol, that enters into the Machne Shechina has to be Poreish for 6 days, like Moshe Rabbeinu. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan, although he agrees with the interpretation of this parsha as Rabbi Yossi Aglili had it, Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, wants to derive the Chovas Prisha, the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, from the Miluim, because in that case, the Prisha of the Kohen Gadol during the days of Yemei HaMiluim were for 7 days. Moshe Rabbeinu's Prisha was only for 6 days. And therefore, Tosus presents the following thesis. Li'olam, I can tell you that even Rabbi Yochanan would accept Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and Moshe Rabbeinu was Poresh. But that is not sufficient to derive the conclusion that a Kohen Gadol has to be Poresh for 7 days. Moshe Rabbeinu's preacher was only for 6 days. So Tosus says that we have a shita of Rabbi Lozer. Now, keep in mind that Rabbi Lozer is the outstanding disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. And whatever we see in Rabbi Elazar, as a general rule, we can assume he was part of the Lincoln transmission and he received it from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. And he dashes the psukim like Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, the Gemara assumes that it's logical to say that Rabbi Yochanan, the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar, had that interpretation of the psukim of this parasha of the Anan and so forth as Rabbi Akiva had it. And he's not going to dash in the psukim as Rabbi Yossi Haglili had it. Now, let's just review. According to Rabbi Akiva, disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi Haglili, this pasuk is not talking about the mitzvah of prisha at all. Because again, the mountain, the Anan, the cloud, was not covering Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it was covering the mountain. Now, if that be the case, then Rabbi Akiva, in his interpretation of this parsha, which is recorded in our Braisa, would probably be a source for supporting Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no basis here for a Chi of Prisha in this parsha. You can't derive a Chi of Prisha. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Poresh. The Anan was covering the mountain and not Moshe Rabbeinu. So why does the Gemara quote this Braisa as a Braisa Kavose Dira Reish Lakish when, although Rabbi Yossi Aglili in this Braisa would support Reish Lakish because of his interpretation of the parsha, Rabbi Yochanan could derive his conclusion from Rabbi Akiva's interpretation of the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva's recorded in this Braisa as well. So Tosus claims that when the Gemara says Tano de Messiahle, Tanya Kavose de Reish Lakish, what the Gemara has in mind is that we found one Tana that holds like Reish Lakish. The Gemara didn't have to point out that this Braisa also has an opinion that reflects the Shita Rabbi Yochanan. We have already quoted a Braisa which explicitly reflects the Shita Rabbi Yochanan. We're looking for some Tana so that Reish Lakish could hang his hat on, so to speak, on a, and stand on the shoulders of one Tana, and that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili here in this price. The Gemara asks, but Maiko Miflegi, what is the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva? Now, it's from whence did each one derive his Shita in interpreting the pasuk? And the Gemara suggests, Biplugta Dahani Tanoi. The machlokes here between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva is a reflection of a different machlokes, which we're going to learn about now in a braisa between the Tanakhama, the Chachome, Rabbi Yossi, as to what day of Sivan was the Torah given. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. It's a long sugya Masechta Shabbos about this on Peches. And according to one opinion, which is the one that we're familiar with, the Torah was actually given, meaning the Aseres Nedivos were given on the 6th day of Sivan. Hence, we celebrate Yom HaShavuos at Chag Atzeres on the 6th day of Sivan. But there's another opinion, that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that the Torah was in fact given on the 7th day of Sivan. So the Gemara analyzes it to find. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa B'Shisha B'Chodesh, on the 6th of the month of Sivan, Nitna Torah, the Aseres HaDibros L'Yisrael, that's according to the Tanakam, Rabbi Yossi, Omer B'Shiva Bo, that on the 7th day of the month of Sivan, the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, were given to Klal Yisrael. And as I said before, this is a sugya in Perek Klal Godol on Daf Peva. Mandi Omar, the Tanakama holds Bishisha on the 6th day of Sivan, the Torah was given. He will hold that b'shisha nitna u'b'shiva ala lahar. On the 6th of Sivan, the Torah was given, meaning the Aseres HaDibros were given, and on the very next morning, on the 7th, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain. And that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Uman di Omar, but Rabbi Yossi, who here the Brice is recorded as saying, B'shiva, it was on the 7th day of Sivan that the Torah was given. B'shiva b'sivan nitna, u'b'shiva b'sivan Allah. On the very same day that the Aseres HaDibros were given, which is on the 7th of Sivan, Moshe goes up to the mountain. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, Vayikra Moshe biyom hashvi, that the voice came out of the anan, of the cloud, and addressed itself to Moshe Rabbeinu on the 7th day. So again, everyone is in agreement that on the 7th day of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain. The machlokas is, when was the Torah given? Was it given on the 7th day of Sivan, on that same day that Moshe, after the Torah was given, went up to the mountain? Or perhaps the Torah was given one day early, on the 6th of Sivan. And the Gemara now analyzes the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva in the light of this machlokas. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that Moshe Rabbeinu was poreish for 6 days before he went up to the mountain, Savale Ketanakama. Diomar b'shisha b'chodesh nitna Torah. And what does it say? B'shisha b'chodesh nitna Torah. U'b'shvi Allah. That after 6 days of Prisha, this is how Rabbi Yosef is going to learn the Parsha, then on the 7th day, Moshe gets the clarion call to receive the Aseres HaDibros, and on that very day, he goes up to the mountain. So he had 6 days of Prisha prior to, culminating in the 7th day, which in this case is the 7th day of Sivan, and that's all to prepare for what happens immediately after the Aseres HaDibros, and that is to go up to the mountain. And that's going to be Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who accepts the Shita, the Tanakami of Abraisa, that the Torah was given on the 6th day of Sivan. And on the very next day, the voice came to Moshe Rabbeinu, which is on the 7th day, that he should climb the mountain and receive the Torah, meaning the balance of the Torah. Hilkach, Zehoya Maisa. In other words, I stopped in the middle of the sentence. Zehoya Maisa Achar Aseres HaDibros. In other words, when the Torah is talking about the Anan that was covering, this was after the Aseres HaDibros, Vayishkon, here's how we interpret the pasuk. Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, Vechaseu Ha'anan Sheshes Yomim. And it means Lev Moshe. Again, we're going to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that the cloud covered Moshe Rabbeinu for 6 days. And then Vayikra el Moshe B'yom HaShvi, Lekabule Shar Torah, the voice came out of the cloud, where Moshe Rabbeinu was concealed, so to speak, or surrounded, I think would be a better word, that summoned him up to the mountain to receive the balance of the Torah. That's called Shar HaTorah, because the Aseres HaDibros he received one day earlier on the 6th of Sivan. The Isal Kedaitach, if you're going to tell yourself that the Pasuk is telling you, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem Al Har Sinai Mei Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Vayechaseu Ha'anon Lahar, if the Pasuk is telling you that the glory of God descended upon Har Sinai on the first day of Sivan, and the Anan covered the mountain, not Moshe but the mountain, then when it says in the Pasuk, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem, it says, Vayechaseu Anan Sheshes Yomim, It means that's going to take you up to the sixth day of Sivan. And then Vayikra el Moshe b'yom ha-shvi l'kabulei aseres ha-divros. What would it mean that on the seventh day Moshe Rabbeinu received a voice to accept the aseres ha-divros? That doesn't make any sense because the aseres ha-divros were given on the sixth day. So again, if Rav Yosef Aglili agrees, he embraces the sheet of the Tanakhama that the aseres ha-divros were given on the sixth day of Sivan, then it's impossible to interpret that this whole parsha took place before the aseres ha-divros, as Rabbi Akiva would have it, and the voice of Hashem came out to Moshe Rabbeinu on the seventh day of Sivan, that he should receive the aseres ha-divros. It doesn't make any sense, because already on the sixth day of Sivan, they had received, together with Moshe Rabbeinu and the Klal Yisrael, had received the aseres ha-divros, Mishisha, on the sixth day. Vayistalek ha-anan Mishisha. And the Anan would have left its place by the time of the sixth day of Sivan, because that's when the aseres ha-divros were given. So how could it be possible that now Moshe Rabbeinu would be called out, summoned by the voice of Hashem on the seventh day, mitoch Anan? It could only make sense if this happens after Matan Torah, which would mean that the Anan was covering Moshe Rabbeinu and not the Har, and there were 6 days before he climbed up to the mountain, which he was surrounded by the Anan, and Moshe Rabbeinu was Poresh for these 6 days, so that on the seventh day of Sivan, the day following Kabbalah Aseres ha-Divros, he would be summoned by the voice of God to climb up to the mountain, and entering into what we call the Machna Shechina, and he's got to sanctify himself, which he did for 6 days while he was Poresh, and he was surrounded by the Anan. And now the voice came out to say to Moshe Rabbeinu on the seventh day, you're ready now, you're ready sanctified to the level where you could come up to the Machna Shechina and receive the balance of the Torah. So we now have a neat package in which Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds like the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yossi in this last braisa, so that the Torah, meaning the aseres ha-divros, were given on the sixth day of Sivan. Moshe Rabbeinu had been surrounded by the Anan for 6 days, starting on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and all this was to be miskadesh through a prisha and prepare him for climbing the mountain and receiving the balance of the Torah by entering into the Machna Shechina. But on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Savar Lo K'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is the Omer B'Shiva B'Chodesh Nitna Torah L'Yisrael. On what day of the month of Sivan was the Aseres HaDivros actually given to Klal Yisrael? It was on the 7th of Sivan, like Rabbi Yossi in this Braisa. Ah, now we can interpret Vayikra El Moshe B'Yom HaShvi, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu got the voice, but again, it wasn't directed to Moshe Rabbeinu specifically, because all of Klal Yisrael on that seventh day had to receive the Torah. The Torah was given according to this sheet of Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yossi on the seventh day of Sivan. Again, the Pasuk mentions Moshe Rabbeinu only Lachlo Kavod LeMoshe. But in fact, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai means that the Kvod Hashem was on Har Sinai from Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Vayichaseo Ha'anan Lehar, and during this period of time, the mountain was covered by a cloud. And all this is because the Kvod HaShechina had, so to speak, descended onto the mountain. So the mountain was, that expressed itself in the fact that the mountain was covered by the Anan. And Vayikra B'Yom HaShvi means he called out not just to Moshe Rabbeinu, but to all of Klal Yisrael to be Mekabel the Aseres HaDivros on the seventh day, which means that there's no source here for Prisha of Sheshes Yomim on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu before he enters into the Machna Shechina. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is not aligned with Reish Lakish's derivation from this sugya, this parsha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was chayev in 6 days of Prisha in order to be miskadesh himself for entering into the Machna Shechina by going up to the Mount Sinai. That's all completely foreign to Rabbi Akiva's understanding of these psukim. because Rabbi Akiva, like Rabbi Yossi, maintains that the Torah, the Aseret Dibros, was given on Yom HaShvi, so any voice that came out to Moshe Rabbeinu on Yom HaShvi was really a voice that was addressing all of Klal Yisrael to be ready, because on that day they would receive the Aseret Dibros, and the Anan had covered the mountain for the last 6 days, so there's no source here for Prisha. The Gemara now asks, how do we understand the sequence of events? It makes sense according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, it makes sense according to Rabbi Akiva, but not according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Bishlema, I understand the Rabbi Akiva that there was no Prisha before Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain. Hainu Mishkachas. Now the calculation of the calendar dates will reflect what we found in a Mishnah in Masechta Tainis, Shabbashivasa B'Tavas Nishpat Shtabru Aluchos. So the exact calendar date on which Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain after 40 days on our Sinai and he broke the tablets, that was on the 17th of Tammuz. How does that work out beautifully if you hold that the Torah was given, the Aseret HaDibros were given on the 7th day of Sivan? So it works like this. Esrim v'arba de Sivan, right? If you take the 7th day of the month of Sivan, and that's the day in which the Torah was given and Moshe immediately went up to Har Sinai, the month of Sivan had 30 days in it, and that's called a mole. Again, the Gemara in Shabbos proves that Sivan was a mole in that year. So if we take now 7 from 30, so we end up with 20. Just 1 second. Again, if Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain on the 7th day of the month of Sivan, and he remained there from the 7th day until the 30th day. So you have to count days 7 and 30, so you end up with 24. And if you take a calendar, you'll be able to work it out. Now, let's add 16 days of Tammuz from the first day of Tammuz until the 16th day. And now, if you add 24 plus 16, is Molule Arboim Yomim. 24 plus 16 is 40. And these were the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on the Har, Ubeshivsar, on the following morning, which was the 17th of Tammuz, Nochis. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain after having spent 40 days on the mountain. Again, you know, Klal Yisrael expected him to come down on the 16th of Tammuz because that was the end of the 40 days. But no, the Gemara calculates that, you know, the 40 days didn't complete themselves until the following afternoon. That's called Meis Leis, but we don't have to get into that now. But suffice it to say that on the 17th day of Tammuz, after completing 40 days on the mountain, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain, v'tavrinu l'luchos, and he breaks the luchos. And that day in our Hebrew calendar is the 17th of Tammuz. Ela l'Rabbi Yossi Haglili d'Omar shisha d'prisha arboim d'har. Which means that the Gemara assumes that according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, the 6 days of Prisha of Moshe Rabbeinu are integrated into the 40 days that he's on the Har. Again, the Gemara is going to clarify that. But if that be the case, then what we do is we calculate the 6 days of Prisha. And after that, there were... Oh, he says the following. Let me just see if we get to mathematics here. He says, Ve'arboim dahar. And ad esrim utlas b'tamuz lo itbar. The Gemara, I skipped a step. I let the cat out of the bag. The Gemara doesn't know yet that we're going to calculate the 6 days of Prisha as part of the 40 days. So now we're going to have to add the 6 days of Prisha to the 40 days. So we're going to start the 40 days after the 6 days of Prisha. And if you do so, then ad esrim utlas betamuz lo itbar. Then until the 23rd day of Tammuz, which is a full 6 days after Shivasa B'Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming down from the mountain and breaking the Luchos. So in fact, according to the calculation of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Moshe Rabbeinu ascends, or I should say descends from the mountain on the 23rd day of Tammuz, and that's the day in which he broke the Luchos. So Gemara answers, Amar lecha Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Arboim Dahar, Behadi Shisha Deprisha. When you calculate the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu is on the Har, you have to include in that number the 6 days of Prisha. So that number of 40 includes the 6 days of Prisha. We're not going to count those 6 days as separate counting. And therefore, it's going to turn out that the 40 days, if you start the 6 days earlier during the days of Prisha, will culminate on the 17th of Tammuz. That's the day in which Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain and breaks the Luchos. And here we're up to Omar Mar, which is about halfway through Daf Dalid Amid Beis. And at this point, we'll conclude the shiur. In the next sugya that we're going to learn in Mirtz Hashem on the bottom of Dalet Amid Beis, the beginning of Daf Hey and Aleph, we're going to make further calculations and how to interpret the different psukim based on the different opinions about exactly when. Everything took place, the entire sequence of events, and so forth and so on. All right, then.